My name is Uriel Garcia Vega. So we're here on Belair. This was here before TV Johnny. This was the main source where everything was going down. Every jewelry, I mean, this was banging. This was the spot to make business. Like, if this building to were catch on fire, there would be people running in there, not out. For real. I mean, I think this is like the first building ever built on this side of town. I know it has a history. Look up the Jewelry Center, 7500 Belair. And my first job there was making the wax frame that goes around the teeth. Basically, the customer comes, they get a mold. Once that mold is done, we fill that mold in so it captures your whole teeth. And then once your teeth is made into a mold, we get a wax sheet and just fold it on top of the mold, like if they were your teeth. Start basically just using the chop method and chopping around where the wax is not wanted. So you're just like tracing the teeth with wax. And then you remove the wax from the mold and it's like your teeth, but like the grill as you see it in gold, but in wax. Then once the wax is done, you make a tree for an investment, which the whole process takes about a day. The day before, you do the mold, the wax, and then you put it into casting, you leave it overnight, and then the next day your casting is ready, which is the wax you made inside of like some hard substance that leaves like the imprint of what was there before, which was the wax, which was your teeth. And then we go and flip it and just dip the gold in there. It basically takes the position where the wax was. And that's a grill right there. And then from there, we do all the polishing and finishing, filing, add stones if any stones need to be added. Pretty much from there, TV Johnny kind of took the whole... There was grills being made, but no one knew about them like big until he got into it. King Johnny, TV Johnny, everybody was making grills, but it wasn't really big yet until TV Johnny got on board with Pow Wow, like meeting the two right people. And from there, grills in our shop, in our manufacturing shop, from 2005 to about 2009, probably like only the first year we did grills. After that, we kind of just started doing custom jewelry. The grills was not in our interest really, because TV Johnny had it mastered and it was very competitive business. Everybody started doing it. The wax, the models, and the mold for grills is all handmade, and we kind of like started on something new, which called 3D printing, and we got introduced to that around 2008. And before the 3D printing, we were cutting all our waxes, our like 3D organic models, like faces, numbers, any kind of figures. We were using CNC machines, and we outsourced. My boss told me, I was like 17, he's like, learn these programs so I don't have to outsource, and we'll buy a machine. So he went ahead and got the software for me. I got ahead and jumped on it, learned it for a little bit. I did ask for help from other people who knew and were trained. None of them wanted to help me. That made me want to learn even more. What they know is they've been taught. So what they've been taught is all they know. And me, on the other hand, I think it is. It's like you never stop learning when you learn by yourself. Like I knew all what not to do while they learned all what to do. When they were doing something wrong, they didn't know what to do because they never encountered that problem. I've encountered probably all the failures already, to where I know in the future a problem I'll be able to resolve or won't have to outsource, because a lot of these guys, they sometimes they encounter problems and they just give up right there and then just outsource to New York, China, wherever there's 3D designers and 3D printers accessible. I have quit my job in 2009. I wasn't moving nowhere. I wanted to get further. I really wanted to be a part of the company, and my boss wasn't liking that I wanted to get further. And he started acting different against me, like, this kid's getting, I don't know what he's trying to do, but I actually told him, let's become business partners, because I see we can take this really far, everything I've learned. And I'm like, you know, a giving back person when someone gives something to me. So I'm like, you know, I'm willing to be fair in any kind of business. This is me talking at 17, 18 years old. He looked at me and said I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know business. I was nobody. Nobody knew my name. I didn't have a shop. You don't have no money. You're Mexican. You're a minority. You're not going to make it. So, all right. I took that and just quit. You know, I didn't argue against it. More of a man of action. You know, I'm going to prove him with action instead of words. So, I took about a year off. And then I got back into another company in like 2010. Which was on Richmond, called a Jewelry Depot, another large manufacturing company in Houston. Before, in the other shop, we did nothing but hip-hop jewelry, like big pieces full of diamonds, everything really flashy and bling bling. And then in this new company, they did totally the opposite. Nothing but very fine, elegant jewelry. I mean, we were registered to work with people from the Galleria, and very high-end jewelry stores would come to us to get their designs made. The guy there I worked for too, he didn't have a machine, and I kind of went in there and told him I had experience at my old job, so he went further on to buying a machine as well. So I ran the machine there for 2 years, and they didn't want to pay me what I was asking for, so I just stepped out. Also, I did a lot of nice things there. We did things for like Leonardo DiCaprio's wife, Beyonce, Mariah Carey, a lot of celebrities. Different from the ones from the other shop, because at the other shop, it was more like nothing but rappers. We did Soulja Boy's piece. We did Rick Ross, Zero, most of the Houston artists, a lot of out-of-town artists, a lot of people from New Orleans. Like, a lot of people got their jewelry. A lot of people y'all see on TV, their jewelry was made in Houston. Like, you wouldn't believe it. Why? Probably because we have a lot of cheap labor here, like, where people can get away with working under the table. I guess a lot of the jewelry that was made was by people like who were getting paid under the table and didn't have like any say of like, I want more. They just got paid and they were happy with it. And I guess the owners of these manufacturers took advantage of that and had, you know, a whole crew of guys working there making really expensive jewelry, and they weren't getting paid where they were supposed to. These jewelry stores were able to bring their prices down lower than New York, lower than anywhere else. So a lot of artists and people who wanted jewelry pieces came here, and coming with that, we had a lot of practice. No matter how much we got paid, low or high, there's a lot of jewelers here who got a lot of practice. So they're really good at what they do, but very mad at that they don't, that now they're realizing that these guys made their money and out of the business, and now we're left without jobs. Like, a lot of manufacturing companies starting to close. They got their money left. Less popular, gold got expensive, and people start realizing they need to get paid more. Just started seeing that, man, we're not getting paid what we're supposed to, or we're getting slaved. So, the workers get paid hourly. Some get paid by piece, depending on what they do. There's different fields. There's the designer, there's the guy who does the casting, there's the guys who does the finish, there's the guys who do the setting, and then there's guys who do polish. And some of these companies, they hire less people and try to make them do everything. Like, 3 or 4 of people's jobs, just so they can save money and don't have to pay someone else. But what they're really doing is bringing down their quality, because this guy might be better at polishing, but they're forcing him to do a design. He's not fully focused on one thing, and that's very important, because every one of us, just like in the hip-hop world and b-boying, one of us got something that another person doesn't have. The more focused and the more time, the more closer you get to the visual you got if you have it. And that also gives people opportunity to be good at what they're good at, and a chance to have a job. And I feel like you really gotta do some bench work before you get on the computer and start designing. Because you, when I start designing and I have close to me or my colleagues, like someone working with me, like, yo, I really communicate with them and let them know what I'm doing, so they can be on the same page. So when the casting is done, everything is faster and easier and smoother and cleaner. When there's no communication, there's a lot of mistakes, and the job does not come out on time, and it does not come out how they want it. And a lot of these manufacturers, they don't understand that at all. They just want fast, fast, fast. The faster the job gets out, the faster they get money, the faster they get out the business. The jewelry industry here is very underground. Like, it's very small circle of people. We pretty much know each other. It's just like it's hip-hop. It's very underground. And it's not, like, easy to get into either. Like, I think I was just at the right place, the right time, and with the right mind. Like, so it's definitely a dedication. It's like, I do teach people. I have a few students I teach. And because at first, people would come up to me and tell me, you know, teach me. I'd be like, I wasn't taught, so I wouldn't know how to teach. You know, just I didn't know what to say, but just watch. Because these manufacturer owners, they're worried about cutting prices, so it's hard for us to create something, because they're not allowed to create anything out of life and, you know, and make it into jewelry with, you know, with a limit. Like, everything that's been coming out, it's forced. Nothing, it's given time or the attention, the patience. So I know most of these designers, they're not there for that. I don't think they feel what I feel or see what I see, or There's a few, really. Everybody, kind of like everybody in the jewelry industry right now is like at an old age, where they're just there to get their money and pay their bills, and they're not really worried about taking it any further than that. One, because they're not allowed, and two, because it's not for them. Even if they did, they're just doing something for their company, and their company's gonna get big, and at the end, they're still gonna get paid the same. They're still just gonna be no one. So I guess that's what stops them. They're like, it's not mine. So that's how I think about it sometimes. These people, like, I got a lot of creative, and I wish I could tell them, but it's really their business, and nothing you say matters to them, but unless you're saving them some money. And they just want to get bigger and greedier. I think probably if they get paid a little bit more fair, then the business, the jewelry business, would still be good, because I believe the reason it fell down because it got bad feedback as the years went by. People started realizing in the grill business that it really wasn't a 14-karat gold grill, because if it was a 14-karat gold grill, it would always be falling off because of the gold being soft. Like, everybody was making them, like, I think at 8 carats, saying that were 14 carats, because the metal had to be a little harder for it to be able to click on and stay hard on your teeth. I remember the first year, we were actually doing them 14-karat gold, and we had a lot of customers coming back saying they kept falling off, because the gold was too soft. So, I don't really think there's very few people out there who are, like, really pure 14-karat grill. They have technology now that they can just scan the metal, and they'll tell you how much percentage is in there. So people are getting tired of seeing that and having to come back and saying, I thought it was 10 carat, or I thought it was 14, or I thought these were these type of diamonds and they're not. Like, it's a lot of confusion going on. Mm-hmm. It's all coming on wrong in every angle. So go do your research, and it's probably too late now, and there's no way of getting your money back from the grills. But yeah, pretty much I've been in this building for a while. Everybody knows me, I know everybody. I'm probably the youngest, and I feel like I'm the most outgoing, and I don't really want to keep this, I wouldn't say jewelry, but this art going, because I'm still going to be affiliated anyhow, even if it's my hobby, even if I have to get a 9-to-5 to begin, like, good money, and I'll be able to do this on the side, because it is an expensive, like, all the tools, the equipment, the software, it's very time consuming, you really have to have a lot of patience, and I believe I have a vision of it, because ever since I was little, I was always just around it, and I always just looked at it. Even if I didn't want to, it was just in front of me. So, and I didn't come from rich. I'm telling you, we started at the flea market with my mom. She had one showcase with a few, like, chains in there and gold. She really started on the streets. She went door to door in the Hispanic communities, in the apartments, in the barrio, whatever. She started off selling food, like tamales. And she got introduced to selling gold. She started selling gold. She would sell food and be like, would you want to buy a gold chain? And she made it from there. She went from door to door, made enough money, got herself a showcase, and enough to fill up a showcase. Went to the swap meet. And a year after that, we had like 2 showcases. After that, we had like 6 showcases. And after that, we had like 3 stores. It's very profitable too. Even if it's custom made or just if you buy things wholesale and resell, like, it has a good profit. So, kind of like, we made it in Houston. My mom made it in Houston with no knowledge, with no school, with no nothing. All just her hustle, and got us up to like 3 stores. And I did get myself out of the industry for like a year full. I was kind of sick and tired of the pay and the people. And, you know, it's not really what it seems all the time. And I'm the guy that's looking at everything that's going down. And it sucks because I have like a passion for it. And it's like art to me, and it's not just like money. I'm worried about it. I don't even know why. It's just something in me that I just like, I really do worry about it. And I do see what's going on. And I don't know if they realize it, but it's that part that people don't have, the art and creativity that keep it alive. Like, people are getting bored of seeing the same blocky jewelry that's been coming out. You know, it's a new generation. It's time for new looks and the ordinary. You know, you gotta wear a ring. We can, you know, innovate to something different, like eyebrow ring, or, you know, something crazy, or like jewelry for your jacket or jewelry for, you know, you don't have to stick, it don't have, it could be anything because jewelry is anything. So I guess to alleviate the problem of this is not this or this is not this metal, the only way to get out of that is like presenting the jewelry as art. Then you won't have no argument of what kind of metal it is, but that it's art at the end, where the art is more valuable than the metals. To get to that point where this piece is so amazing that the metals and all this, it's not even looked at, it's just the art that amazes you. I mean, you wouldn't understand the hours I would put in here. Like, I would be here Monday to Friday. To look at it this way, I'll leave my car at my house, my boss will pick me up Monday, I'll go home with him Sunday, and we'll come here at 11 in the morning, and we'll leave like at 2, 3 in the morning every day. And then we'll go, I'll go to sleep at his house. He had a big ass house in Katy. And then I have my own room just to sleep in. And I'll stay here the whole week, basically. And sometimes we'll stay till 4 in the morning. Sometimes we'll sleep there like 4 or 5 hours and wake up to work. That's another thing why they made like a lot of money, because they would do like double shifts. Like, it was only 5 of us in the whole shop. 5 heads, $1 million company. And I was getting paid, no lie, like $200 a week. And I was the one who did all their designs, all their models, all their... But I was like 15, so I didn't know what was going on, you know? I was just going with it, and I loved it. Like, I just did it because, you know, it was brand new. The shop was brand new. It was like 4 months new. I came in, learned all this shit, boom, boom, boom. Like, the first year they made a million. Like, 2007. Like, right when I was in it, that was probably the last 4 years that it was big. I hate those last 4 years hard. Like, big jewelry just got bigger and bigger. Gucci Mane, all his jewelry. OJ, Waka Flocka. All his jewelry was on me. Like, they'll come to my office. Like, I have my... They'll treat me good, you know? They'll cater to me and everything, but the pay wasn't good. Like, he'd come to my office, and he'd be like, oh, this guy, you know, Waka Flocka, you know, do this big... I did the big-ass Fozzie Bear. It was, like, 8 inches of Fozzie Bear, all iced out, all diamonds. And then they would spell their names, like, all fucked up. And I would have to go online to look up, who the fuck is, you know, Waka Flocka? I'm like, what is this? I would look it up. And I didn't even know, like, back then, in those years, I didn't even listen to no radio. It was all hip-hop to me. It was all just my MP3 and just, you know, listen to old school jams. Nothing but old school jams. Like, radio was not, like, I didn't know Soulja Boy. I didn't know Gucci Mane. I found out by doing their work. And then, like, damn, these niggas are big. Like, and they blew up. Like, I saw a lot of people, I think that the hip-hop is so important. Like, hip-hop has to do a big part with jewelry because I feel like there's like a signature for them. They wear this and they're known for that. That's Gucci Mane. Like, that's a symbol. Like, everybody, like, the top artists in hip-hop nowadays, what they call hip-hop, they always have that big bling. Like, the biggest artists, they always try to top each other, get something different. And that's a way of showing success. Like, I made it. I'm the biggest. Top it. When you make something bigger, then you're at your best. So it's more like they resemble their success through that. And that's more important than, I guess, to them than having actually the money in that bank for them. They want to, like, be proud, you know? It's like a trophy to them. And it means something that means something to them, you know? And every time I got to design one of these pieces, I actually felt a lot of, like, I felt something while I did it. Like, it was important to me as much as important it was to them. I wasn't even thinking about the pay or the future. It was just at that moment. Like, it can never be too much, only to the person who's been taught that's, you know, that limit. That's why I don't like teaching people, because I feel like I'm stopping them there. It's not, like, you know, just create. I feel like create and just look and observe. And if you feel, you know, just go with your feelings, your human instincts, because not your money instincts, because... No, you could have those feelings too sometimes. You're like, damn, with that money. So, I really have no say until I make that money. And that's really all I can do is just, you know, money talks and money makes things happen. And I can't just be a 20-year-old talking to these, like, millionaires and stuff, telling them what I want or how things to be done. I'm nobody really, like, the reality. So, I'm trying to, if I could get a voice through hip-hop, it was my other, like, half of my life, breakdancing, hip-hop. I also was doing that since I was 15. I would be breakdancing and come into work, change my clothes. And I always had that visual of just rhythm. Like, even when I'm working, when I'm designing, I have a rhythm. And that's probably another thing that I feel like kept me from looking at jewelry as a business and more as art, since I was always been around graffiti and hip-hop and art, and jewelry is a big part. Like, even in hip-hop, like, in the world, like, even back in the days, you know, like, emperors and rulers, everybody had jewelry. Everyone had something, you know, that was, like, Gaudi. That's what Gaudi is. And I know my Mexican history, too, that a lot of gold comes from Mexico. So it's probably something inside of me that says, you know, just stick around and, you know, this is where you belong. Ever since I've been in the industry, it's just all been trends. They come and go. No one has said something like, this is legendary, or this is something that's going to be with us for next generations and next generations. And long term, I want to create something that no one has seen, that not even, like, I expect. I would have to have a lot of gold behind me to make anything happen. So that's another, I'm happy because the jewelry is getting to where it's all virtual. I can design a piece on the computer, make it 3D, and make it look real, like a rendering. If you say you want a ring with three diamonds, you want a yellow gold, you want the diamonds to be blue, red, and white, you will be able to see what the piece will look like on your email. Like, I can render it in, say, about 30 minutes, and you will be able to see a visual of what the ring would look like without having it to be made. So that's another, like, plus I have. Like, I'm doing little things where I know I don't have the money, I don't have all this thing backing me up, but there's a way that I'll be able to do it. There's a way. So I've gotten in physical fights here with my boss because of money, and because they got mad because I quit. They're like, I made them $1 million the first year I was there. I left the business, like, no more. Like, they outsource the little designs they got, the little jobs they got, to Vietnam and shit. But ever since I left, it was like they're not able to create nothing with the tools they got. And that's another thing, work with what you got. I never complain about not having one tool. It's just, you gotta make whatever you got useful, and not create your own tools. That's another thing with, I could relate to the computer design too. I wasn't taught, you know, on the computer design. So sometimes I make my own tools, and it makes being able to learn on your own, you have so much advantage, because you have no limits. Like, you have no what's right or what's wrong. So whatever you think is right, whatever you think is wrong, whatever your limit is, you know, that's all it is. Because when you get taught, you're like, okay, so this is where you start, this is where you use this button, and you click here twice, and then, you know, save it here, and then do that. So that's all you know. When you go in at something blind, they're capable of more. Like, these guys actually go to the JCK, it's a convention every year. Jewelers from all over the world, internationally, come and get together in Las Vegas. And it's where all the innovating jewelry, all the designers come out, where all the new technicians, like, everything having to do with jewelry, from showcases to sales, to boxes, to even websites, to cases, to props. Like, everything new that's gonna come out in jewelry, it goes down there. And these guys go to all these events, and they have, like, all the newest things. Here, like, I would say, like, I don't see anybody else from Houston really there, and everybody from the world goes there. So this is one of the few shops in Houston that involves themselves in innovating, you know, and putting new things into their showcases and making their showcases look different. You know, it all has a big play with the sale at the end. You know, how well you present yourself. So another thing that's very interesting about the business too is that it's very, like, all the workers, everybody involved, they're from different countries, different places. It's so crazy, like, see, that guy's from Colombia, that guy over there is from Acapulco, we got some guys here from El Salvador, I'm from Mexico, there's guys here from Somalia, there's guys here from, everywhere, you know? And we all work together, we all understand each other. At the end of the day, the finished product is our language. Like, yeah, we understand each other. Look, the finished product is nice, you know? Like, if there was no understanding, it would probably be like a crap, like, what the hell is, you know? Nobody understood, you know, the point of the project. But that's another thing, like, a lot of shops you go to, they're always from different places. It's very rare that they're just, like, one certain, like, race. There's always different. The first owners I worked for were Vietnamese.
second manufacturing shop I work for, we're Jewish. The third one, which is here now, they're Pakistani. That'll just tell you. I have a few tools here. This is a whole bunch of wax, blocks, shapes, circles, you know, cylinders, cones. We use these to cut for the CNC machines, which was more of the second generation way of designing. Because the old school way was the bench. Everything was made by hand. Tools you use on your hand. And those guys have a lot of pride, and they wouldn't even look at a CNC machine. They would be like, no, that's not a way to do it. But you know, you gotta move. You gotta move along with the rhythm, and not even get left behind. So they brought out the CNC machines. We made it easier and more detailed.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, this guy here is from Somalia.
Yes,
hi.
From Somalia, Africa.
Is it from Africa, yes. Somalia? Yes. How many years have you been here?
13 years.
13 years? Mm. He does all the polishing.
Cleaning,
so that's his thing. See, here, what I like about this manufacturing shop, these guys have their own, you know, position. So that's a good thing. And here, see, these are models cut in the CNC machine. Yeah, whatever I designed, this is a sandblast. You know, sandblasting does on metal, makes it that. That's a sandblast machine. This is a laser machine. It solders with a laser. It does very very detailed soldering, as small as 0.1 of a millimeter. You know, if you're trying to get something really close up and microscopic, and you can really get into something in here, really, really go into detail to where you can even see the solder sometimes. You know, so neat. Very neat. They were one of the first ones to have it here in the building too, these machines. CNC machine. I'm cutting beads. We're making a rosary. Solid gold. They're gonna be solid gold bones. You don't really see that often. And this is a 3D printer. This is the program you use to design everything. Basically, start off from shapes and lines, and then you start extruding, and you start, you know, just making whatever you want to make. You can chop, you can add things, you know, and then you start adding. It's very, very simple. Before this, I was using SolidWorks, which was engineering. It was AutoCAD, basically, and it had nothing to do with jewelry. But I was making all my jewelry through SolidWorks. And then I was introduced in 2010. It was this one, Matrix, the rhinoceros. It's a jewelry plugin for a 3D software. And it works with nerves and planes. So it gives it more of organic and more control. And, sometimes I sketch out the idea just for me to see it. It's not crazy. So yeah, this is what I use, and I could actually make this ring look like it's really a ring. Like it is real, just with a few clicks. I could add a background, I could add more texture, I could get really into detail where it takes up to like an hour and a half to render, but the final image is like, looks so real. And this is a curing system. This is a jeweler.
¿Consiguió lo que está buscando? ¿El dientes?
Oh, no, vamos a ir todavía.
Es decir, el que hace eso es Johnny Dang. Es whatever you need about jewelry, we made. Here we made. Before, 10 years ago, now at this time no more, it's over. These kind of jobs, bigger things like this, very big plates, and all of the stuff. We made this big part and handmade with these machines. Everything we made. And about it, too. We only do the cover. The impression of that is in another place. You have to bring in gold and everything after that we make. Diamonds, princess card.
¿Cuántos años tiene aquí usted?
10 years.
10 years. En todos los joyeros que conocemos, mm-hmm. ¿Cuántos de creatividad hay entre ellos?
Most of the things we made is custom design. The people myself is a few. I'm going to start with the silver stuff and things like that and check out what the people like and we make it.
So it's basically
most
saying,
of the things over here is for custom design. We don't make jewelry for sale, for our design.
Yeah, they have no say in the design. They just,
if you made the design, we made it.
Yeah,
your design and we make it. Here, never work with them. This guy do. Is it the designer?
That's the one.
Okay.
We go to casting. It actually is like a laboratory because there's nothing but chemicals and stuff. And it's, it this. I guess you gotta do experiments. I don't know. This is the casting machine we use now. And this is the news of technology. They're making them even smaller now, where they can go like on top of everything. Like you can basically run a whole shop in your house now. Yeah, this is the last process. The wax is put into a cylinder like this, and then they fill it up with this like liquid, like cement. It's like cement, sort of. It's called a investment. Mm-hmm. And you stick your teeth in there, and then you fill it up with this investment. And then with the teeth that are in the investment liquid, you bring it into the oven, and then you let it overnight, and then the investment will get hard, and the wax will just evaporate and leave its mold inside it. So basically you just bring it in here, and then they just throw their gold open. It's very simple, very simple. Like, you just apply your gold, it's nothing but buttons, and it does it all. But like, it used to be like that manually. You used to bring it with your hand. You would have to melt the gold, and then you would have to like throw it like with your hand. You would have to like dip, like throw the gold like so fast, like in the heat, and then I guess it gets sweaty, it gets hot. So this is the part I hate. But now they make those machines.